Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universal Society. My name is Rick Recking, longtime member. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, or abilities. Later in the service, we'll invite guests and visitors to introduce themselves so that we might get to know you a little better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by members of our congregation or by members of the wider community, which is what we'll have later this morning. We have some opening words presented by Andy.
This is by Andy. My pronouns are he, him, his. And these opening words are by Elvis Presley. Animals don't hate, and we're supposed to be better than they are.
The chalice lighting today will be done by, is it Paula?
Paula, yeah.
In a world filled with the darkness of ignorance, let us bring the light of reason. In a world filled with the darkness of despair, may we share the light of hope. In a world filled with the darkness of hate, let us shine the light of love.
For many years, Prairie had a UN Sunday, and it was usually around the 11th of October, I think that was the day. We're having a guest speaker today with that same on that same theme of commonality of people. His name is Mahood Akhtar, and would you please welcome him to speak to us today.
Good morning. Regarding your comment, I'm going to talk about this movement that, yes, I agree with that. I think I started getting phone calls once I got a appreciation from the Southern Poverty Law Center about what I'm doing in terms of building inclusive community. They actually wanted to start a chapter of We Are Many United Against Hate that I'm going to talk about. So they gave a certificate to put my name on the wall in Montgomery to tell people that how we need to work together to build that. So there is definitely a concern, and it continues to be, remind those people what it was. And the same situation is happening in India right now in terms of lynching and all of those things as well. So we need to work together to stop it, basically. So, glad to be here. Thank you all for inviting me. I will just walk around, and the diversity on Sunday is pretty good, right? So what I'm going to do, I'll give you a little bit background about myself, and then talk about why I started this movement, and then I will give you a few examples, and then I will ask you to do certain things after that, once you listen to my little talk here, and then we'll take Q&A. Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
I'm glad to see some kids here too, you know, and diversity is here. That's America right there. So, as you can tell, my name is Mahood Akhtar. So, I am Muslim. And I'm American. And I call myself as proud American Muslim. So in our community here, right here in Madison and Albany area, it's about 10,000 Muslims live here. And all across the state, it's about 50,000. And in United States in 2018, we were about, I would say, 3.4 million American Muslims. And worldwide, we're about 1.4 billion, which is about 24% of the U.S. population. So, increasing. In the United States, by 2050, the population will go from 3.4 million American Muslims to about 8.9. So, it's increasing rapidly. So, one of the concerns that the Muslim community has is about what you're seeing on television, you know. is a safety issue that bothers me all the time. So during the presidential election, I was getting so many phone calls from TV stations and radio stations and newspapers to say, you know, hey, this whole presidential election, you are hearing from these presidential candidates and you know, what's going on? Because we were hearing that, well, if I get, you know, like Donald Trump specifically made it very clear that, hey, if I get elected, I'm going to go into mosque. By the way, there is a mosque right here on Hammersley Road, one of those three we have. And we're going to profile this thing and all of this, you know, things that were going on. So Muslims were very concerned in our communities that if this guy gets in the White House, how are we going to deal with him if this happens? So I was always on television, unfortunately, just defending my religion, telling them that, hey, I have been organizing events about Islam, Muslim, West, ISIS, our common enemy. So don't look at us as, what, terrorists, right? So we're not. We're going after those guys. Because those are the guys who are destroying the religion which teaches peace. So I was always there. One day, I received a phone call from a TV station after Donald Trump was elected. And he said, you know, Masood, there is a discussion in the White House about starting a Muslim registry. You heard that before. What happened to people in Germany? Jewish registry, remember that? So I want you to come on my show and talk about it. What's your reaction? What's your community reaction? So I did. I went there. That was the saddest day of my life. I have been in America for 35 years. My background is business. I've been living in Madison for over 30 years. To me, that was the saddest day of my life when I received that phone call. I never expected that. So I got on television, the question was asked. And I told them that I gave up my Indian citizenship over 25 years ago based on what this country offers. Singling out a minority based on religion is not what America is all about. It's going to divide the country, not unite the country. It's highly un-American and unconstitutional to even think about starting a Muslim registry. Then I said, but I like the idea of starting a registry that will actually bring people together. So today on your show, I'm launching a movement called Anti-Hate Registry. The people of different faith, no faith, whatever, can actually join this movement. Because what I see over the next 4 years is not just going to be the White House and the Muslim community. What I heard during the presidential election and what's going to happen is going to be more like white versus non-white, majority versus minority. So Jewish community is going to be under attack. African American, Hispanic, you name it. That's what is going to happen. So my goal is that I want to start this movement, which we now call as We Are Many United Against Hate, because some of the Jewish people who are on my board didn't like the word registry, so we changed that. So that's how I started the movement, and the response was overwhelming. I mean, that TV station was just bombarded with phone calls when this thing was aired, that everybody wants to sign up. So in one day, I got about 500 emails. And people say, sign me up, sign me up, sign me up. And then there is a group of people who have a lot of specialized experience like IT and social media, and they said, hey, you need this guy. One teacher called and said, well, I will take minutes of your meetings because this is great that in this kind of environment, we all need to work together. So the first thing I did, I created an advisory board of diverse people, leaders from diverse communities, so you name it, Jewish community, African American, Hispanic elected officials of both parties, all of those, you know, police officers, federal officers, everybody was in there. And so that's a statewide. And we focus in two major areas. One is education, and obviously it's a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization. So one is education, and other one is nonpartisan policies that we promote. So we're trying to develop this model. Once hopefully it's successful, we'll take it nationally, how to build this inclusive community. In educational areas, we really focus on real-life stories, because that resonates with a lot of people, and we are targeting specifically youth at different schools, K-1, K-12, then we go to college and UW campuses. And I will give you one quick example of that. How many people know that in 2012 in Milwaukee there was a Sikh temple shooting? All right, a lot of people know. The guy who started the largest hate group also lives in Milwaukee. That's the group that killed 6 people. The founder is on my board. The guy whose dad was killed is also on my advisory board. These two guys got together after the shooting, 3 months after the shooting, and sat down, talked to each other, and became the best family friends. And they go everywhere, not only United States, but all over the world, to teach peace, to talk about their story, to talk about why this guy was on a mission of killing minorities. And then the way minorities were responding changed his life completely. So I take these two guys whenever I organize an event to share their story. So just a quick example, December 10, 2017, I asked these guys to come to Manana Terrace where 500 people came. And they talked about it in the Q&A. And a month later, I got a phone call from a teacher at Mount Harlow School, and she said, you know, I want to talk about the event that you organized. I said, okay. And she said that 2 of my high school kids actually went to your event, and they came with the flyer that you distributed. And they said, after listening to these two people, what they were before and what changed their life, change our lives completely. And I just want to make sure that you call Masood and these two people so that all of our 800 students at high school can listen to the same message. That's exactly what I did. I went, talked to the principal, talked to the teacher, get all these kids involved. Actually, 2 of those first kids who took this message from my event are also on my advisory board. Because I want to empower these students to actually work with us and take it to all high schools in Wisconsin. And then, so we did that, and then at the same time, then the program was there, it was, you know, so you saw that what happened at Parabu School, Nazi Salute, right? So I immediately contacted them, and I said, you know, we need to sit down and talk about it, and I went there, organized events, put together a plan. We are working together very closely, and then now we have these meetings where we have people engaged from mayor, the school superintendent, teachers, and the community people as well to say, okay, what needs to be done? They didn't have a plan before that includes equity. I was there last week as a part of a meeting with the superintendent. And they gave me a 3-year plan that they just put out. This is the first time in that school history they have equity moving forward. So the program is already having a significant impact because we simply, as a part of education, don't organize these events. That's not what we do. This is just first step. We are there to make a change. So we get engaged after we organize the event. We work with the community, we work with teachers and everything, say, okay, what's causing root health, causes of root in your particular community, because it varies depending upon who lives in that community. So you can't just take all this information and say, here it is, and then we look at, you know, what are the best practices that we can adopt, and then we take that and put it into a school curriculum. So this is another area that we are working with Department of Public Instruction to look at what are the best models that other people are using and what we can use as a resource to do that. McFarland High School, same situation. When our TV program was aired, they also contacted me, and now we're working with them and putting together a story. And word, you heard about this recently, right, in some of those schools. So actually, I'm going there and talking to those people as well. So whenever we see something happening, our goal is not to see something happening, but it's happening so much that we still have to do some follow-up. There is another thing that I discovered. These real-life stories resonate. I found out that in Fort Atkinson, I was approached by a lady who started a program called Unity, and she's having a little bit of time connecting to schools and other things, and she called me, we had a breakfast together. And I asked her, I said, you know, the best thing is, if in your community, which is a tough question that I'm asking, but if in your community, do you have a white nationalist? And she said, well, that's interesting. And she said, yes, I do. I said, wow, that's just perfect thing. Because then we can sit down and figure this out, what program we can offer, because if this guy was a white nationalist, and he's no longer a white nationalist, that's a just perfect story from a guy who was in your community. So I had a number of meetings with them, and I asked him, I said, Derek, this is a white nationalist. I said, okay, tell me about your life. He said, oh, I hated everybody who didn't look like me. So that's the way I grew up. And I said, okay, so what happened? And he said, I was a military guy, and I was out on a mission, and one day, my whole unit was ambushed. And you know, the guy who saved my life was African American. And that changed my life completely. So I took my TV crew from NBC 15 over there, Fort Atkins, and interviewed. So TV crew asked me to interview this guy while they were filming. And I was doing that, and literally, this guy was crying. I said, do you have anything like a military dress or something that we can use to show about the background? And he said, my mom burned all of those things. So I don't have to remember who I was. Okay. So there are those examples, there are those people out there who are really on the wrong path, and then life changed completely. Those are the people we need to identify. And if they are from a particular community, those are the people we should take it back and start sharing, because they would trust those people. So this is something that you as a group have to remember. If there are some examples in some of your communities of people that you know, let us know, and then we will work together. There's another example who is one of my panelists, is that one of the challenges of Muslim communities, and you might have noticed it or you may not notice it, if there is a shooting in any community, and if it's carried out by a Muslim named Muhammad, watch this. What do you see on television? In 2 seconds after that, that guy, Muhammad, is a terrorist. They don't stop there. It's a Muslim terrorist. They don't stop there. Islamic terrorist. So they immediately associate that particular individual action with religion. That affects us in terms of security. Because then the people next door might be thinking, oh, Masood, oh, he works right here. And it happened in my office in Milton. I'm a business guy. One of my employees came. Remember there was a shooting in Milton one time? Guy came to me, he said, hey, Masood, do you know that there's shooting next door? And I said, no. But one thing I'm going to tell you, I'm not going out from this office until I know who the shooter is. Because I'm worried about it, right? And yet most of the shootings in this country are carried out by white supremacists. And FBI is concerned about it. But if a shooter is not a Muslim, you don't see those words, terrorism, religion, which we don't want, but you don't see that. And that's where we struggle all the time. So when we go out and organize the event, you know, we're also looking for some real life stories as well. So as I mentioned, we organize event here, like Islam Muslim West, ISIS is our common enemy. And by the way, Baghdad is dead, right? So I found out, because I'm always searching for real life stories, I found out that you guys may already know because of the national and international story. There's a guy in St. Louis, Missouri, who's 21 year old, he's a Muslim. His 21 year old son was a pizza delivery driver. And his son was killed simply because he was a Muslim. So they go to the court. And then the last day of the judgment, before the judge announces anything, the dad stands up. And he hugs this kid who killed his son and said, "My wife and I forgive you for what you did. Islam teaches forgiveness." So he's also one of my panelists. And that story is so powerful in terms of not, Islam is not what you see on television. Islam is what you see in this video or in his life. So we're in the process of organizing an event where sometime March timeframe, where he will be our keynote speaker. So I will send you information in case if you're interested in learning more about him and other things as well. So it's just, things are growing so fast. This movement is only 2.5 years old, but the response is just overwhelming, literally. Just 2 weeks ago, I was at Edgewood College, about 140 kids, high school, junior and senior. They invited me, and I talked about this movement and everything like that, and they were so engaged. And then four of these kids with diverse background came to me and said, "What can we do?" And I said, "We are empowering youth, and let's start a chapter of We Are Made United Against Hate at Edgewood." So not just Edgewood High School, but Edgewood Community. So there is Edgewood College next door. You can talk to community in as well, and then we work together. And they are fully engaged. So the way this thing is happening is people are getting engaged, and they want to start some chapters so we can all work together in this to deal with this, because one organization cannot do that. You know, I have my several businesses, and I'm so much involved in community activities that even this organization, We Are Made United Against Hate, is really a, one day my son, who is 10 years old, said, "Dad, We Are Made United Against Hate, is that your full-time job number 6? I said, "You haven't heard about number 7. So here is my number 7. That, as I said, this movement is not just organizing events and meeting. This is all first step, but we want to really dig down into these, you know, what are the causes of this hate and what's building this, so we go deep down into that. What I found out was very interesting. When I sat down with this former white supremacist, Arno Michaelis, that I gave you an example of, the guy who started the largest hate group, I went to Milwaukee to have lunch, and this guy whose father was also dead was eating lunch. These guys eat hot food, so they went to Thai restaurant. Number 10 they ordered, and I was sweating, being from India. So you can see that kind of relationship between the two. That guy changed completely. I said, first I'll ask you, you know, what happened in your life, and things that changed. So he described to me about several examples that. Then I said, I'm going to turn this thing around a little bit, a tough question. I said, how did you recruit people join your hate group to kill people. That must be the toughest job you have. Then he said, no. That was not that difficult. I said, well, tell me. I'm here on a mission. I need to know. And he said, I will find those people who are high school graduates, not going to college, drunk all the time like myself, don't have a job. And those are the primary target to recruit. And I will go one step beyond that. I would say, when they say, yeah, I'm interested in joining your hate group, then he would say, you know, by the way, why you don't have a job? Because the Jewish guy actually took your job away. This Hispanic guy took your job away. This Muslim guy actually took your job away. And he said, I will get a joy out of that. When the as people start hating each other, I'm just like, wow, I'm making a difference. So economic insecurity is really a breeding ground for these hate groups. You know, politicians love to talk about, in America, we have 3% unemployment rate, everything is so good. The reality is, being a businessman, I tell you, you can do anything or report or find Google anything. 40% of Americans are struggling every day to decide which bill they want to pay. Some of those are doing two or three jobs to get by. Right? So I started thinking about what needs to be done again, going back to make a change. Now that goes back to my job number 7 full-time. So I just started another nonprofit organization called ESS, Empowering Students for Success. What I want to do is I want to target people from low and medium income families all across Wisconsin to go to college. And I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your color is. I just want to make sure you are not available for this kind of hate. So what I did, I formed an advisory board of the leaders from university. So former chancellor of UW, former UW system president, president of Egbert College, MATC. It's a nonpartisan group, so we have a big lobbying group person on MAB, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. So I formed all of these people. And what's unique about this? Again, I'm on a mission, remember that, not just the education. Education is a part of that. I put together a strategy which all of my people like with the intent that if we are successful, we're going to take it nationally. One, this loan is completely interest-free and is tied to job. So when you get a job, we'll give you a small percentage of your salary, come back to me, and then I grow. Now the next challenge, you want to make sure they do get a job. When I grew up in India, my father was an English teacher in a very small apartment, 7 people. And my father had a big passion, was an English teacher. He said, in India, 14.5% minority Muslims. And if you don't get a higher degree or go higher education, you are done pretty much. You won't be able to. So that's why I grew up with that kind of environment of education. So I have a lot of passion about that. Anyway, the important thing was make sure that these guys graduate. But again, remember, I'm on a mission. What I know, based on my discussions nationally and also a lot of parents and other people in Wisconsin, they don't know a lot of these opportunities. Single parents and others. Most of the time that I, even in my community, you know, in India and Pakistan, we have a lot of medical doctors. You know, I get their kid's resume after high school, March. I say, uncle, can you find me an internship that starts July 1st? He said, okay, that to be paid or unpaid? Oh, paid will be good. Yeah, you should have applied August last year, right? even those who are highly qualified people have no understanding of all the system, what people look for. You know, when I hire people, I know exactly what I'm looking for. We need to guide these students. So I'm putting together a list of mentors with different fields of specialization. So if you are asking for a $30,000 loan, I'm going to ask you, what do you want to become? Want to go to MITC College for 2 years, undergraduate 4 years, what do you want to become? And you say mechanical engineer. Okay, so here is your check for $30,000, and here is a mechanical engineer who graduated mechanical engineering very successfully, and is going to work with you over the next 2 to 4 years to guide you through the process. But that's not the end of that story. Again, I'm on a mission. If you are a white guy looking for a $30,000 loan, and you want to become a mechanical engineer, hey, your mentor is not going to be a white guy. He will be an African American. It could be Jewish. It could be Muslim. My intent is that if those two guys work together over the next 2 to 4 years, they will understand each other better. And when they leave, they will do exactly what I'm doing. And by the way, a lot of people who live in this country, born in this country, have very little idea about the U.S. Constitution. So you have to take some civic courses to learn how this country was built. So we can understand each other, the value of immigrants and others at the same time. And by the way, if you graduate with 3.91 GPA out of 4, your loan is completely forgiven. The only thing I'm asking you to do, become a mentor for others. So you can build similar thing what I'm trying to do. So the organization is very mission-oriented. It's having a significant impact, particularly on youth. And we're everywhere in terms of schools, in terms of colleges. We're introduced to all UW systems, MATC. We are fully integrated working with them. It was interesting that one day I got a phone call from FBI. I work with them very closely because, you know, FBI has a difficult time recruiting speakers to go to their meeting in this kind of environment. When people get a phone call, they say, I don't know what they are after, right? So they actually usually call me and say, hey, on your board, you have all the representatives and all that kind of stuff, so help us. So I do that, so I know a lot of people. One day, I got a phone call from FBI lady, and she was new as outreach person in Milwaukee, and she said nothing. And I didn't know her, and she said, what's your date of birth? I said, that doesn't sound good at all. You know, being a Muslim, and I'm out there on TV, you know. In my file, I have hate letters that people write me all the time. People paint my garage door with some kind of thing. And you know, I said, oh, that doesn't sound good. Well, what choice do I have except to give my date of birth? I did that. So I went home, and I was eating dinner with my wife. I said, you know, something strange happened today. It's important for me to tell you. And she said, what's that? She thought something, because she knows that I'm always out there and people don't like me, particularly those people who hate, you know, kind of thing. Anyway, I said, I received this phone call and the lady didn't give me any information except this. By the way, if I disappear, you know where I went. And she said, no, you know, God will save you and you do all the good things, all the coming. Anyway, a month later, I received a phone call from the same lady and she said, Masu, you must be wondering why I asked for your date of birth. I said, yes, every day. She said, out of 5.8 million people, FBI director in Washington, D.C. has selected you for the National Directors Community Leadership Award. So I said, wow, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Anyway, so FBI looked at this. It was interesting because I went there and received the FBI award from FBI Director Christopher Wray, but then these people also called me before I received the award that we would like to give you something at FBI headquarters. So they invited my family, then invited another family. We went there, and there were three FBI people sitting in there, and one of the guys said, hey, Masood, do you know why you are here? I said, yeah, but can I say something before you start anything? He said, that lady sitting in the corner, you know, you need to give some better instruction that if she calls people and say, hey, what's your date of birth, at least she should describe a little bit background. I'm all cracked up. Anyway, so That was interesting. So my point is that where we are at today, you know, this country is so important. I have lived and traveled to so many countries. America is still the best country on the face of this earth to practice your religion or no religion and fulfill your dreams. A lot of people who are born in this country may or may not recognize that. It's so critical. So I'm going to fight wherever I can, even though I get these head letters from these people, that this is so critical. So everybody in this room has a role to play to fight this. Because FBI is looking into this model, how I'm working together and how I'm bringing these people together and how media is supportive of what I do. Their intent is that if we're successful with this, building the inclusive community, putting curriculum into school and safe environment kind of thing, the intent is that I will continue working with them to use this model and build this inclusive community nationally. Okay. So there are a number of things I will leave you with. You can go to our website. We have some cards, business cards, and sign up so that you can get updates from our activity. Whatever you heard today, I will encourage you to share with those who are not here, neighbors and others. That's how you make a change. Don't worry, even if it's a one person. Makes a huge difference. Okay, so you start out with something. Think about starting a chapter, working together in terms of educational programs or policies or whatever we want to do moving forward. It is the partnership that's going to make a change. And that's what I just said. You know, I just recently hired first executive director, because things were happening so rapidly that it was very hard. As I said, this was already job number 6 and then job number 7 and all of that kind of. It's very critical. One person is important, one student is important. And that's what you need to work on. So thank you very much for your time.
And take a few questions.
Yep.
Anyone with a question?
I'm on. It's a matter of education. The local media here in Madison, or even Wisconsin, is very cooperative of what we do in terms of promoting right activities. Like I gave you an example, that if there is a Muslim with a shooter, national media, mainstream media, is only called a terrorist when there is a Muslim guy, right? And there's not a mentally disturbed or something. They will come up with some kind of explanation. They still do it. When I sat down with our local media guys, I explained to them, and they said, you know, Masood, I agree with you. These people should also be called as terrorists. And then they went on television, and Neil Hyman did an editorial on it, and the Texas shooter is a terrorist. He should be called who he is. It's interesting, even not only the media, but even FBI folks, for example. I was with them, three of those. And I'm sitting there with minorities listening to what they plan to teach about what they do. And they showed me a slide where they have two bullet points. One is international terrorism, and number two, domestic extremism. And I stopped the guy. I said, wait a minute. I got a problem with this slide. Why this terrorism is associated only with the international thing? And I see a lot of terrorism going on here in the United States, and even Muslims are not involved into that. And that causes problems, safety issues. That's interesting. Got into this, and that guy told me. He said, because of what I heard, putting these pieces together, I'm going to change it. Now the FBI, and this information went back to Washington, D.C. FBI headquarters. Now FBI headquarters saying there are 850 cases of white nationalists who are doing this killing. It's the biggest problem, and we can't even call them domestic terrorists because laws are not on the books. They're going out and actually testifying at the U.S. House of Representatives. That's how you make a difference in terms of education, interaction. There's a lot of confusion out there and misconceptions out there. There is a fear created.
I'm sorry, the battery is out, so you might want to use this. Maybe I'm talking too much.
No. We have a problem with this thing. I'll trade with you.
All right. Is it good?
Yep.
So anyway, I think this is important. You know, I can go on and on and on, you know, on this subject. But to me, engagement is so critical. Once people sit down and talk about who we are and explain everything what we are doing, it changes everything. And that's what we need to focus on. Somebody asked me a question. He said, well, so you got this head letter, you know, what did you do? Did you respond to? I said, yes, but not in a negative way. What I did was I sent him a letter back. What this guy said is total misconception about Islam. He wrote me a 3-page letter. It has my address. It has his address. It's not like he's hiding anything. He said, Masood, I see you all the time on television. You're promoting peace. It seems like you are a martyred Muslim. I said, well, that sounds good. There's nothing wrong with that. You can call me anything you wanted, you know. And then he described what a modern Muslim is. And then he said, you believe in God, don't believe in God. You believe in prophets, don't believe in prophets. They were all bad. And then he said, by the way, you know, and he has all the references from Google, 3 pages. Just every single one of them was wrong. And then at the bottom, on page number 3, he said, don't respond to this letter. Just go to Milwaukee General Sentinel and respond to this. What this guy was looking for, getting his message across. If I go there, he knows it will be published, and then his message is going to get out. So how did I respond to that? I simply sent him a letter, said, I received your letter, and thank you so much for writing me. You're not the only one. There are many people who have several misconceptions about Islam. And this is how we have been doing it. And I listed all the conferences about clearing misconceptions about Islam. Islamic eyes, you know, we go after this. All of those things that I listed, that this is what I have been doing to educate people about my religion. That Islam is not what you see on television. Come to our event we organize. And I said every single one is actually recorded. And I sent him a link. And I said, a week from now, I'm organizing another event called Clearing Misconception About Islam. You're most welcome to attend. And if you can't, I will be happy to come and sit down and address any concern that you have and share my background about that. And then that stopped it, literally. You know, people are not born with hate. Hate is taught. And if you can teach hate, you can easily teach love. And that should be our philosophy moving forward. That if you what did Martin Luther King said in his remarks? He said, I have 3 kids. I want to make sure one day in America, my kids are not known the color of their skin, but rather the content of their character. See, that's where this country comes in. Now, where things are messed up a little bit in the past couple of years. If we can fix it. But if we don't wake up and start raising our voices, which you have the opportunity in this country, the kinds of things that I do, if I do it in India, I will be killed, I promise you. My whole family will be killed. And that's where what's happening in India right now. I was in D.C. just last week, putting together all the strategies of how the new prime minister is actually doing these kinds of things to the people in Kashmir. And then 14.5% of people, minorities, are going to be affected, including Muslims. I'm doing those things right from here. I can do it. But if I go there and do it, there was a lady from Kashmir sitting next to me in Washington, D.C. a couple days ago. She was a Kashmir. And she said, my father and my mother, they're 80 years old, they are in Kashmir right now. And all the phone lines are cut off, so I don't know where they're at. And she said, I'm willing to work with you all to do anything, but I don't want to go on television with you. Why
because people from this government living in the United States are keeping track of who is speaking against the Prime Minister, and they're coordinating with those people. So I'm just concerned if I say something, and if I go back there, even if I don't go there, they will go back and kill my parents. Okay? This country allows you freedom of speech. Working together, whilst your concerns go together. And that's how you make a change.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Thank you. Chris is going to read the We the Peoples of the United Nations, number 475 in your hymnal.
Okay, so this is the charter for the United Nations. It's 475 in the hymnal. So, we the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations large and small, to promote social progress and better standards of life in a larger freedom, and for these ends to practice tolerance and to live together in peace as good neighbors, to unite our strength, to maintain international peace and security, to ensure that armed force shall not be used save for the common interest, to employ international machinery in the promotion of the economic and social advancement of all people, have resolved to combine our efforts to accomplish these aims.
Thank you, Chris. Our speaker today embodied that. Thank you, Mrs. Thank you all for coming. Enjoy some coffee and friendship. Extend a hand of friendship to your neighbor and come back next week. Bye.